Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today, we're talking about what to do with your tax refund.
But first, let's talk about Typhoon, the concert.
Yeah, okay.
Last week, right?
Yeah, so this concert that I tried to get you to go to with me and...
Yeah, backed out.
Yeah, you're old and lame, and so you didn't go. I went to see a band called Typhoon, and I'm kind of obsessed with their music. If you like incredibly introspective lyrics and fun band, Typhoon's definitely one to check out. They're out of Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, fun band with like 10 or 12 members in it.
So they used to have 11 awesome. Members, I think, and now they're down to 7. I don't know what happened to 4 of them. Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe it just gets too hard to do the traveling with that many people.
Yeah, I'm guessing trying to travel with 11 guys on the road.
But they sounded...
Guys and girls.
So good. They were so good. It was a blast.
Yeah, we went and saw them like 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
How did it compare, that show?
So I think they were musically a little bit tighter, but they lost a little bit of that element of when they were an 11-piece band. And so...
Oh, they lost their horn section. That's why.
They lost the horn section?
Because they had all the horns on the last album.
Yeah, and you know how they used to kind of sing in unison more together? There was a lot less of that going on.
All the group sing?
Yeah.
Everybody shouting at the same time.
And clapping and all that stuff. And so people are probably like, what is this weird band with horns and group singing and clapping?
Man, but, it was so upbeat. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I definitely enjoyed it. Enjoyed it last time we went and saw them.
So maybe we'll put a link in the show notes to...
Man, what if we can get... what if we could use one of their songs for our song intro?
Oh.
Think we could do that?
We'd have to reach out to them, but they'd be cool.
I don't know, man. I think it'd be awesome. Either that or like something more Atlanta. I feel like if we could get...
Oh, get some Outkast. John Mayer.
He's Atlanta.
he's Atlanta, and I hate him. So I don't know if that... Probably not. We'll rule John Mayer out.
Yeah, it would only take like a few seconds of just one of their songs, just some nice instrumental. Like a lot of Typhoon is instrumental.
Yeah,
I think that would be amazing.
Don't you think your body is a wonderland would just fit in with this podcast though? I think everyone's like, yes, actually, that's what's been missing from this podcast is your body is a wonderland as the intro. Just mull over it. You don't have to say yes or no right now. Just think about it.
Yeah, I'll think about it while I'm in the shower because that's when I get all my great ideas when I'm not thinking of anything.
All right, well, so we'll check that out.
And I think I'm going to think the exact same thing that I think now, which is no.
And if you have a suggestion, if you even want us to change our intro, I personally like our intro right now, and the only thing that would make it better would be John Mayer's Your Body is a Wonderland, but we'll see where Matt lands on that. Feel free to tweet us at NotPoorMatt, at NotPoorJoel on Twitter, and tell us what songs you think might go well in our intro. Also, thanks for the iTunes reviews. A lot of folks have been giving us fantastically kind reviews on iTunes. We're thankful for that. And wherever you listen to podcasts, if you're listening on Stitcher or through Apple Podcasts or wherever, whatever app you're using, if you want to leave a kind review about the podcast, we'd appreciate it. Now, on to the beer. Because on Pour Not Poor, every episode, Matt and I crack a beer and then we talk about money, something money related.
You brought our beer today, and I know it's a Westbrook, but other than that, you said it's a sour?
I'll read what it says on the label. It's called Joy, J-O-I-E is the name of the beer, by Westbrook. They're out of Mount Pleasant, South Carolina.
Yeah, basically Charleston. Right?
Yep.
Have you ever been there?
Yes. Although I haven't been to Westbrook. I've been to Mount Pleasant, but...
I don't care about my...
I skipped Westbrook.
I'm talking about Westbrook.
I feel like I went to another brewery while I was there instead, maybe. Or no, just a great beer bar, I think. But okay, so here's how Westbrook describes this beer. Mixed fermentation Saison style ale aged 1 year in Sauternes barrels. Sauternes, is that how you say that?
Yeah, of course. So Sauternes is a French, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it's a French sweet wine. It's a white wine. It's got like some lighter fruit flavors like apricots and maybe some peach as well. So this is aged then in Sauternes barrels.
Yeah. Guess, obviously I'm not cultured and sophisticated enough to know that. So cheers.
That smells amazing. My mouth is starting to sort of pucker in water just smelling it. Oh, wow. Way sweeter than I was expecting.
Really?
Yeah.
It's funny. It's like way less sour than I was expecting from based on the nose.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting an overwhelming sweetness, but it's
like a, it's a... almost like a honey sweetness to me.
Definitely, I'm getting some honey.
You feel that honey?
I'm getting some honey, and it also...
It's like a thicker, heavier sweetness.
It's thicker beer, and it almost has like a Hefeweizen-y quality to it, like a wheat thickness to the body.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that, but it's really tasty. It poured like a hazy gold, but I agree, it's not nearly as bright and sour or tart as I was expecting it.
As you kind of let it roll back off your tongue and you you finish the sip, you kind of, I feel like the complexity kind of starts to hit you a little bit.
Thanks for grabbing this one, man. This is delicious.
You got it. Yeah, a little switch up. I like what Westbrook's doing, and they kind of been coming out with some new stuff lately. So
this is a great beer for today, too. It was warmer today. I was able to get out on the bike some.
Oh, nice.
Had some business errands to run and was able to keep it in the neighborhood.
Ended up being a beautiful day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was great.
You posted about that on our Instagram account, which you can follow at Pour Not Pour on Instagram. And Matt's a photographer, so I'll tell you what. I guarantee you we have the best Instagram of any financial blog/podcast out there. It looks really good.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
All right, so on to the topic at hand. What should you do with your tax refund?
Yeah, and first I wanted to thank Donnie on our Facebook group. Actually, he mentioned, he kind of gave us the inspiration to do this topic, right?
That's right. His question was, what should you do if you get a spare, like a random $1,000?
Yeah, and he called it the community chess, right? Like from Monopoly. total board game, which is, I mean, pretty awesome since...
it was a recent episode.
Yeah, we had that episode out a couple episodes ago, so good timing. And yeah, Donnie, thanks.
And the average tax refund in America is $3,000. So let's say you've been working all year and you have a normal job. So we'll get to abnormal jobs a little bit later on. But most people who work a normal job end up not withholding enough money. And so essentially, the government has to end up giving you back some of those dollars at the end of the year. And so most people, an average tax return, they would get $3,000 back at the end of the year on their taxes. And so if you are one of those people, the majority of people, you know, some people might be getting $1,200, some people might be getting $4,500, but $3,000 is the average. What should you do with that money?
Yeah, well, first of all, let's just state that that's too much, right?
Yes.
I mean, ideally, you would be getting back nothing. If we lived in a perfect world and our tax system was set up super incredibly efficiently, we would be taxed the perfect amount. The government, the federal government and state government, you know, they would each get the proper amount of money and taxes from you. And at the end of the year, they would say, thank you. and you wouldn't get a refund, nor would you owe any if you paid, if you underpaid.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Perfect world. I'd love that.
But
and you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. And you know, how much am I getting back, and or how much do I have to pay? And it would just like be coming out of your paycheck like clockwork and perfectly.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, I say that because I want to sort of push back against the notion. Like a lot of people think they're like, oh yeah, I got my tax refund showing up. It's something that they count on. It's something that folks are just used to it. And I want to push back against that a little bit and say, don't be used to that. That's money that is yours that the government's just holding on to.
And by the way, can I just say that if there is a robot that makes sushi, and if Elon Musk can send a rocket into space with a Tesla inside of it, how can the government not get that right? You would think like if that's the society we live in, that should be happening, that we should be able to get that paycheck thing right and the taxes coming out of it properly allocated. But
so what's this robot that makes sushi? I've never
heard of this. Oh, yeah, no, there's a sushi making robot. It can make four times as much sushi in an hour as a human being.
Have you seen you've seen the documentary, right?
Euro Dreams?
Euro Dreams, Dreams of Sushi.
Yes. Amazing documentary on Netflix. He's like a human with the feelings of a robot.
Yeah.
So tax refund, a couple reasons why you should endeavor not to have a tax refund. I think there's a couple reasons. One is like rampant identity theft these days. And so there are criminals out there trying to file tax returns as if they're you. And if you are due a refund and the criminal steals that refund, it could be up to 18 months before you actually see that money. And so you should.
So long.
Yeah, it's so long. And so you should file your taxes early, and you should endeavor not to have a refund. It's another, and then just budget accordingly as you get extra money in your paycheck. So if you're, let's say you're used to getting $3,000 back, like the average American at the end of the year, after you file your taxes. Change your withholding, so you're getting more money back in every paycheck, and hopefully endeavoring to make that as close to zero as possible.
I guess my thought too is that, so there's all these sort of different banking products, like, I mean, you've heard of Acorns and some of these other things. It's almost like that, where it's like the government just takes a little more every week, every 2 weeks, every month or whatever, that you don't notice. And then a year later, or come time when it's April, then all of a sudden you've kind of got this little saved up thing. What would you say to folks then that are kind of use it as a tool like that?
Yeah, I mean, I would recommend that they change it and they put that into their, they take home a little more money in their paycheck every week, and then budget accordingly, put their money towards something that's better off. Because the windfall's fun, and in a perfect world, it's a good forced method of savings if you're actually going to use it in that way. And you know, there's a lot of people, and that's why we're doing this podcast. There's a lot of people that are going to get a big, the right word is not windfall, because it's your money coming back to you. And but there's a lot of reasons that you should be getting that money every month and not in one lump sum. And again, like I said, I don't put much stock in the you're giving a 0% loan to the government, but I think the main two things, you got to be worried about potential identity theft, and you got to be worried about blowing it all in on a vacation or something like that. And so I think if you're getting it in one lump sum, sometimes you're more likely to say, feel like you won the lottery and blow the money in a matter of weeks and then regret it.
What's the biggest refund you've ever gotten? Have you ever gotten a pretty big chunk?
Yeah, like 5,000.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty, yeah. That is, I guess that is kind of nice, but maybe not.
It feels good because it's not something that I budgeted, and usually we try to be really wise, pay off debt if we've got a little bit, or put it towards something positive, like an investment of some sort. Those are usually the two ways that we consider using it, but the risks have just certainly changed in the past few years with rampant identity theft.
Is it really that bad? Like you've mentioned it a few times now.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. There's the IRS is depleted in their staffing. There are far fewer IRS workers than there have ever been.
So stuff's just kind of slipping through, where folks are filing fraudulent returns and...
Yeah, so there's like two...
Snatching up your refund, basically.
Yeah, and there's positives and negatives to it. So there's fewer people getting audited. So there's people that are pumped that they don't have to deal with an IRS audit. But on the flip side, they also just don't have the human power at the IRS headquarters to... Mm-hmm. shut down some of the identity thieves. And I think they've gotten just a little bit better as of last year, but it's still been tricky for them to put the kibosh on. And so to me, that's the biggest reason not to get a refund, even if it was the perfect world in which you didn't have the IRS taking the exact amount every month. But let's say there was no identity theft. Then I would say, whatever, go for it. Get as big of a refund as you want and make that a forced method of savings, you know, if you're going to use it well. But yeah, it's not. So worry about it and make sure that money's not getting held up for 18 months as the IRS sorts through things with their limited staff.
Yeah, 5,000, though, that's a lot, man. 1 year, we never got a refund that big, but we owed. We like underpaid the whole year. it was like early on in our business, and we ended up having to owe like $6,000.
Ooh.
Yeah, we were doing our taxes wrong at the beginning there, but that is way less fun than receiving $5,000, trust me.
That's got to feel like a punch to the stomach when you see that email from your accountant, or whether you're doing TurboTax, whatever you're doing.
They were super hesitant. They're like, oh, I'm so sorry, but you actually owe like $6,000 this year.
And that's when you sold your firstborn child to Rumpelstiltskin. That's when you sold your firstborn child to Rumpelstiltskin. So Matt, let's say we're talking to most folks who
we've got that out of the way, right? Like, yes, you shouldn't have a refund, but say you did. And that's what we're going to spend the rest of the podcast talking about, is if you do have a big refund, what should you do with it?
Yep. So the first thing, Matt, what's your take? What's the first thing someone should consider doing if they're getting a big chunk of money after tax time?
Well, the first thing that folks need to do is look at the payments that they're making. And if you have any outstanding debt, you need to really consider paying that off. And we're not talking about, say, necessarily a mortgage, right? Like, we've got a mortgage at 3.5%. we're not in any rush to pay that off because that's a really low rate. But if you've got consumer debt, if you've got a, like a credit card debt, if you've got a car payment, these days, anything close to double digits, you need to get rid of.
Yes.
Right?
Agreed. And for most people out there, it's going to be credit card debt. It's going to be 18, 17, 22% credit card debt.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
And so if you're one of those people that's got credit card debt hanging on, you should truly consider putting every penny of this tax refund in a lump sum towards that credit card bill. That would be the, in most, you know, we'd have, we're not going to look at everyone's financial status individually, but that's most likely where you're going to get the most bang for your buck.
Yeah. And what's great about that too, man, is that it's guaranteed,
right?
Right. Like you can say that like, oh, I've got all this money now. Let me see if I can go and invest it or do something kind of fun with it or kind of be smart about it. Well, that's great. And that might work out, but let's say you've got a 12% payment. Let's say you've got payments going towards something that's got like a rate at 12%. Well, if you pay that down, you're guaranteeing yourself that you're going to get 12%. By paying that off, you're essentially saving 12%, which is the equivalent of making 12%, right?
And there's pretty much nowhere in this world that you can go and get a guaranteed 12% return.
Yeah,
there's
nowhere.
Certainly some risky endeavors you could partake in that promise to return you that or you would hope to make that, but it's unlikely.
12% guarantee though, right? Pay it off.
Yep.
Be done with it.
And if you have a 12% rate, you likely have a fantastic credit card through the credit union. That's a really low rate on a credit card. So most people, it's going to be in the upper teens, low 20s. It's going to be a lot higher than that. So the number one thing you can do with this tax refund, high interest rate debt.
Yeah.
Tackle that first.
Yeah. So after that, what would you suggest as next?
So I think the next thing, let's say, you know, you've gotten rid of all that debt. The next thing that you should highly consider is starting an emergency fund. If you don't have any or it's a very, very small chunk, you need to have something in reserve basically to prevent you from taking out that credit card and taking out a high interest rate debt. And so an emergency fund of $1,000 to $2,000 sitting in your bank account. You know, obviously, financial experts recommend more. It's really, really hard to get up to that 6 month of emergency funds.
Yeah, Joel's a little more loose and free with his money. So, I would suggest some folks are fine and comfortable with $1,000 to $2,000. But man, like if you can get 3 months worth of living expenses all the way up to six months, I say go for it. That's great.
I'm not disagreeing with that at all. I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying we're talking about a $3,000 tax refund here. So
yes,
start, get it going.
Yeah, exactly.
Get it going.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Get something started, get it rolling. And maybe if you do just have like, if you've got like $500 or $1,000 sitting there and you want to beef it up, man, fully fund it. Get that in there. And I promise you, you will not regret that. You will not regret having that margin, having that sort of cushion in life. Maybe I'm a little biased too, being self-employed, where our income fluctuates so much, but to have that sort of cushion there to kind of flatten out the high months and to kind of bring up the low months a little bit and to kind of even out our income. For us, man, having a fatter cushion like that is incredibly helpful. And I think too, for more and more folks who are picking up side jobs and are kind of doing the gig economy where their income is unpredictable, they're going to need to have this sort of cushion built in too. You know, like they read all these sort of articles or hear people talking about like, oh, I've made this much money starting my own business, or, you know, selling, making stuff on Etsy, or, you know, signing up for Uber, something like that. But what happens if you've got a month where you're not doing so well?
Yeah. You got to be prepared for a lean month.
Yeah. You need to have that there.
And then in my opinion, one of the next best things to do is invest. I think investing with your money is a great thing to consider, putting it in a Roth IRA or a regular IRA, but starting to sock money away for the future, because most people now don't start saving for retirement until they're in their 40s. And if you can get started now, and maybe you're 40 and listening and you haven't, and you should get started now, the tax refund is kind of that perfect time to jumpstart that retirement savings and get into the game and put it somewhere where it's working for you for the future.
Yeah. Do you have a Roth IRA?
Yeah, I do.
Nice. Yeah. I didn't know if you had one through your work. That's how all of our retirement is through our, Kitten and I both have Roth IRAs.
Roth IRAs are fantastic. Most of my retirement money is in a 401k through my job, but I have a Roth IRA on the side
too. You've got that match, right?
Yeah, I got to get that match, dog. I mean, I think a Roth IRA is a great vehicle for you to put some of that tax refund into. And the max is 5,500 for most people under 55. And so you can sock the whole kit and caboodle for most of you into a Roth and get that retirement savings jump started.
Yeah, another avenue to consider, right, as far as investing your tax refund is investment properties, right? And we've talked about that before on previous episodes. And if you haven't listened, give it a listen. But that's a huge part of our financial future. And you can take that tax refund and put that towards, you know, that can kind of jumpstart your fund to put down on a new property.
I completely agree. And I think this is one of the things that people talk about the least. If you read any of the articles about where to put your tax refund money, it's usually, you know, obviously everyone says high interest rate debt. And, you know, we're just kind of here to remind you and prod you in that direction. You know, invest more, blah, blah, blah. Yes, that's great. All the articles are going to tell you that. I think one of the main things that you can do, though, is jumpstart something you're interested in. If you really want to start a business or start investing in rental properties,
oh, yeah,
this is a time where, you know, think of it as kind of your seed money. And that tax refund is there for you to tap into to get going with that idea you wanted. So
yeah, don't squander it, man. This can be something that can potentially make more money for you. Like if you take this refund and spend it wisely, this could be something that, I mean, pays dividends upon dividends.
And if you want to get started doing an online business where you know, start a website and you're selling things, or you're flipping stuff, you're buying stuff on Craigslist and reselling it for more money and refinishing it, whatever it is, this could be the seed money to kind of help you get started and get you, you know, a space if you need to rent out a space, or the seed money to buy some of the inventory that you need that you can sell, then resell, whatever it is. Think about this money as a potential way to start a business, start something on the side, you know, super low key. Obviously, you're not going to buy like a McDonald's franchise with this money or whatever. Those are really expensive from what I hear. But finding some way to put this money to work for you that's not in a typical investment account, but is actually kind of getting started, you know, doing something in our society, business-wise.
Something else I wanted to talk about too is not confusing lifestyle purchases with investing. A huge pet peeve of mine is when you hear people say that, oh, I invested in a new vehicle, or, you know, by saying like, oh, I bought a new car for myself. And, you know, they make it sound smart by saying, oh, I invested in this.
Yes.
When it's not an investment. It's something that is just going down in value. It's not something that's going to make you money. It's something that you're going to consume. It's a lifestyle choice. And that's fine. But just own it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you want to spend it, and we'll get to that here towards the end as well, because it'll probably be the last thing we talk about, because spending it is probably, you know, we'll prioritize that the least. But that's fine. Yeah, it is okay for you to spend money on yourself. But again, just own it.
I agree that one of my pet peeves is when you say that you're investing money in something, and really you're using that word as a coy way to make yourself feel better about a purchase you made.
It's just a justification, yeah. Unless it's making money somehow.
Another great thing to do with your tax refund would be to give it away to charity.
Yeah, charity.
To donate your money. I'm not sure, you know, if you're giving now or what's important to you, but neighborhood organizations that are doing great work.
Yeah. Well, Joel and I mean, we both go to church, and we both regularly give there. And so yeah, that's, I mean, a big portion of our, you know, giving money goes there.
A great website, by the way, if you're wanting to look up a place before you give to it, because there's a lot of people asking for money and you don't know where your money's actually going, is give.org. So check out give.org before you give your whole tax refund to an organization, yeah. And make sure it's being allocated kind of in a way that you're okay with.
Yeah, especially right after a natural disaster. That's when all of those sort of not great organizations kind of pop up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Asking for your money, saying that they're going to send money to wherever that disaster is. And yeah, some of them aren't so good. There's a lot of great ones.
Yeah, and it's really easy to check in on a charity now to do your homework. So don't let that be a reason not to give, but let that be a reason to be cautious and to do your research first, because it takes almost no time at all to do that research.
Yeah. And one of the benefits of giving your money away too, is it just helps you to become generous. And so one of the problems I think with folks that are that become maybe obsessed or fixated on saving a certain amount by a certain date and trying to become financially independent is that they become so sort of like self-involved and so yes. inward looking, and they're like little golems. you know, it's all about whatever that they're trying to achieve, and, you know, and damn the rest. And that can really throw things out of balance.
I agree. A balanced life is one where you give freely and generously of the money you're given. And it's not that you don't have goals. It's not that you're not thoughtful about your money, because obviously we are. And we also encourage that in other people. But in my opinion, one of the greatest things that I've been taught and one of the greatest things I've been able to do is to be able to give the money that I earn, that I make from smart investments, from my day job, from my side gigs, give it to organizations that mean something to me, that are doing good in my community, that are close to my heart. And so it's good for me mentally and how I think about money, and that money is not the end all be all. And it's good for me as an act of service to people around me. And it's really, really good for my attachment to money.
Oh, because
if it weren't for that conscious act of giving a certain portion of my money away, I would become miserly.
Like, yeah, end up like Scrooges and just want to want to control every little thing. And this is, it would just change our disposition. It would just change our attitude completely to money and those around us as well.
Yeah. All right. Last but not least.
And then the final.
Spend it.
Spend it. So we're going to only recommend this, I think, to people who are like super cheapskates.
Yeah. So here's, I would say only spend it unless you're a cheapskate and it takes a lot of force for you to actually spend money.
Yeah, you might need to spend this more than somebody else who is very comfortable spending money.
This is a license for you to live in the now and to do something that is good for you you're great with money, you're on the right track. You know what? Do something that's maybe a little frivolous that you wouldn't normally do for yourself.
Yeah. Like if you know your net worth, then you should probably spend this on something frivolous.
Yeah.
Like if you're kind of the kind of guy that has a track of all your numbers, or, you know, like if you're a girl and like you know the number of years you have until you're financially independent, like loosen up a little bit. This is maybe you can actually take that money and spend it some.
If you're so frugal that you haven't bought new underwear since high school or your socks all have holes in them, think about doing something nice for yourself and at least restocking the underwear drawer. And another thing I would say too, Matt, is even for people that aren't in that frugal camp that have a hard time treating themselves, I would say another thing that makes it easier to take all these other steps that we just talked about, one thing that helps you feel less destitute by doing that is by taking 10% of your tax refund.
Just spending like a portion of it?
Yep. Yeah. Spending a portion and giving yourself an allotment, saying, you know what? I got $3,000 back on this tax refund. I'm going to drop $300 on a spa day, whatever it is. Whatever it is that kind of like makes you happy, drop 10% of it on that and then take the rest and put it towards something, one of these goals that's actually going to help get you somewhere. And that makes it just like a little bit easier to swallow as you're moving forward and you're trying to make good strides with your money. But you know what? It's kind of hard to do it with the whole thing unless you've got like a payday loan or like crazy high credit card. Take 10%. Take 10% and put it towards something that you want just because you want it.
Yeah. And that fits along with the poor, not poor lifestyle, right? Like we want to not sacrifice everything now so that we can live in the future. We want to be able to live a little bit now. There's a lot of life to be lived now. There's a lot of opportunities that we only have right now. Don't forsake those opportunities. Oh man, and something else too I wanted to say is that don't spend it on something that's going to continue to cost you money, right?
That's a really good call.
Like don't take that money and think, oh man, I've got a sweet down payment for a car. You get the car and now you're saddled with these additional car payments that are just going to weigh you down for the foreseeable future, right? Like you got this one time cash injection with your refund. You're not going to keep getting these refunds every month. Don't saddle yourself with additional payments, with additional debt.
Like a timeshare or something like that. Don't do that.
Yeah. If you're considering a timeshare, email us directly and we're going to have to talk to you about that.
We'll dissuade you quickly.
Did you ever go to any of those timeshare luncheons or meetings or whatever? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I totally know what you're talking about. No, I've never been to one. I think they...
You want
to
hear a funny story?
They frightened me.
So one time, spring break, I can't even remember what year this was in college, but at the hotel we were staying at, somebody at the front desk was like, hey, if you go and sign up for this tomorrow morning, you'll have a free breakfast and you sit through this presentation. And at the end, you get a $100 Visa check card. And so me and my buddy Joe were both, not Joel, Joe, different guy. You know Joe.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
Almost as cool as me.
Just short of that L. And so me and him like looked at each other and just like, well, we're going to do this. And so we got our girlfriends at the time, now our wives, up the next morning. And we went to that presentation. We got ourselves that free breakfast and we sat through it. And it seemed way more sales pitchy than they made it sound like it was going to be. And we just kind of had to come out and tell the lady. We're just like, look, we can't buy a timeshare. We're like, we don't have any money.
Did you still get the gift card?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, good. We totally right. did, which was great.
And the breakfast.
And the breakfast. The mimosas, too. I don't think everyone...
Oh, that's
everyone
how
there,
they get you, dude. They get you tipsy.
Yeah, that might be it. Anyway, she was very kind about it, but and said that you never know who's got money to spend and who doesn't, but we definitely, we did not have the money. We actually kind of felt, we felt bad, but we didn't know what it was going into it. We literally were told that like, you just kind of hang out and show up and listen to them talk and you get $100 check card.
I've never been in a timeshare presentation, but at one of these days I'm going to have to do it just to see the belly of the beast.
Yeah. If you're looking to buy a vacation rental, back in the 80s, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
There's a chance you got yourself a timeshare.
All right. So definitely don't spend your tax refund on a timeshare or even consider it. Back to the beer, Matt. What did you think of Westbrook Joy? Spelled J-O-I-E.
Yeah, this beer, I really can't get past that honey. Hop Slam just came out and that, their big thing. It's been years since I've had Hop Slam. But their big thing was like, oh, it's a IPA made with honey. And I feel like you could barely taste it, but I swear with this, I mean, it's like there's honeycomb in the bottom of the glass almost. Like it just, not that it's that sweet, but it just has that honey flavor.
Yeah, it really does have that honey flavor. It's got some apricot flavor in it.
Caught me off guard at first, but I mean, the more I drink it, the more I like it.
I've never had Sauternes or however you pronounce it, but I can see after reading the description of what it is that it's this white wine that's kind of fruity.
Sweeter white wine.
This definitely has a lot of those characteristics.
You can tell it's a farmhouse ale that's been aged in sweet white wine barrels.
Yeah. This is a really good beer.
Yeah, I could
super tasty.
Yeah, as it warms up, man, I could on a hot day, this is like a light, easy drinking beer. I could drink this with some spicier food or something like that. That would be, it'd be delicious.
Yeah. And I think, again, if you're not super into sours, but you're like, I don't know, I kind of want to get into them or try them out. This is another good gateway beer for people that are interested in checking sours out. I would recommend if you can find Westbrook Joy, that it's definitely a worthwhile pickup. And, it's got just a little bit of that sour and funk. It's not too far down that line. So it's not going to like blow your palate out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So great beer, great hangs, great topic. Again, real quick to recap. First, you shouldn't have a tax refund. There's issues that come along with it. Potential identity theft. You don't want to get that refund sucked up and maybe never see it not see it for a long time.
And just in general, we want you to be more active with saving your money. I'd rather see you decide to, set this money aside and to be active with it and to invest it or spend it on a biweekly or month-to-month basis versus getting a huge chunk at the end by default.
Yep. Agreed. And pay down those high interest rate loans or credit cards. If you've got something that's upper singles or double digit interest rate, credit card especially,
wipe it out.
Wipe it out. Be done with it. If you've got a student loan that's 8.5%, whatever it is, you can start working on those things. Put your money in towards that. Start an emergency fund. If you don't have one or if it's really small, start an emergency fund. Kind of get the ball rolling on that.
Next, with additional money, man, take that money and invest it. Put that money to work for you. And that could, I think that's one of the best things you can do with additional money that you're going to get as a refund is put it to work. Be creative, invest it, put that money towards a new business, do something with it.
Yeah, do something positive for your future. You can do that with this lump sum that you didn't know how much you were getting. Give it away. Give it away to charity. Find something that represents your values and what you're interested in. And it's just a really good exercise for you to
do. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's just it's a good thing to just get used to doing, right? Yeah. And like the more you do it, the easier it's going to be. At first, it might just be like, oh, I don't want to write that check.
And it helps you realize too, I think, how fortunate you are when you have money.
Absolutely true.
When you have money that you can give away. And then kind of what that does and what you see and how you see it go to things that you care about. It's like, it's really fun to see that. And it's just such a good exercise for your heart and how you think about money. And I think you, when you do challenge yourself to give more money away, the view that you have of the money in your own bank account changes. Mm-hmm. And in a really good way, in a positive way.
Yeah. It'll make you a better person for sure. Yeah. And then last, be selfish with it. You can spend a little bit, right? Don't feel the need to take every single dollar and doing every little thing possible to put that money into work. Feel free to, like Joel said, 10%. If you want to take 10% of your refund or whatever chunk of money that you find yourself receiving and spend it on yourself.
Yeah.
Just don't spend it on something that's going to continue to cost you money, like a pony.
They eat so much. All the oats you'll have to buy. And a space in your backyard. Oh, it's just, and all the poo you'll have to clean up. It's just not worth it.
So Kate and I had this discussion when we talk about things with our girls. We say, is this an extracurricular thing that we want them to do? Because we're looking like down the road and we categorize things and we say, is this like a pony? Is this like like one of those pony expenses where it's going to continue to cost more and more and more money
for the rest of your life?
Yeah. Just because it's a hobby or an interest. And obviously if it's something that they absolutely love, you know, we're going to do what we can to make that happen. But I don't know, at this point when they're only like 3 and 4 years old, I'm like, we're going to pull back a little bit on some of those expenses.
Yeah. So avoid the pony expense, we'll call it, and don't drop your tax refund into something that's going to continue to eat into your wallet for months or years to come. Make sure it's a one-time expense. It's a plane ticket to go see a friend or a relative or something good. That's a one-time drop in the bucket with a part of your tax refund. Other than that, hopefully we've covered some things that are going to help you and that you can use this $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, whatever your tax refund is this year, towards something positive that actually builds up your future fundage so that you can do something great and puts more power back in your hands, because you don't want to look back in June and say, I wasted that money. Do something positive with it. Do something that's going to change your future. And I think all these things that we talked about can do that for you, can have that effect.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Our home on the web is howtomoney.com. Be sure to check it out. We'll have our show notes up there for you.
And don't forget to hit the subscribe button on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to this show. Until next time, buddy. Best friends out.
Best friends out.